Hey everybody, welcome to Hard Reboot. I'm Matt.
I'm Jake. Do I go after you? I don't remember.
And I'm Alan. We go in syncing order.
Man, I almost want to leave that in there.
Good call.
Just that gigantic pause.
Might be hard to cut. I don't know. Up to you. What are we doing today, Matt?
We're doing a episode that I'm heading up. The property is East of the Sun, West of the Moon. We're going to dive into that in a little bit. First up, this is our first month where we have patrons.
Oh, woo! Yeah.
So we're going to thank those. Our patrons, all of our patrons get a shout out on here, as well as a bunch of other cool stuff. At the $1 level, you get episodes early, you get a shout out, maybe some low level kind of cool bonus content from time to time. And then as you go higher, you can get some other cool stuff piled on top of that, that we're just really excited to make for y'all. So our patrons so far, our first one we got up is Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
And our second one is Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thanks, Matthew.
Matt, is that...
Squint at the camera.
Is that you, Matt?
No, it's definitely a different last name, but I'm doing what I've seen some other shows do and not do last names.
We've started doing first initial of the last name.
That is very clever.
Because we kept getting confused over on the other shows. And then Shannon was like, what if we just do the initial? And I was like, oh, literally never thought about that before.
Yeah, no, that's good. We'll start that next month. All right. So
thank you all so much.
Yeah. Thank you for supporting the show. Patreon.com/hardreboot.
Yes. Yes, it is. Go there. Check it out. We're definitely going to have some bonus stuff from, I think, like the last three episodes. I have a couple of small bonus things that will go up probably about the same time this episode goes live for the patrons. Let's see. So we had talked about, just before we kind of started in here, I had mentioned that I didn't know if I wanted to keep this medium. And y'all told me to just decide in the moment, and I think we're changing it.
Okay.
I had told y'all we were going to do an animated movie, kind of the 3D, kind of Brave style. I want to keep that visual if at all possible. Maybe. I don't know if it'll work. But here's the medium. It's going to be a video game.
Oh, back to video games. Okay.
It's been a minute since we've done one. Our last one was the steampunk third person open world RPG video game Sinbad the Sailor, which is amazing.
That one was dope. The one before that was Arsene Lupin, and then the one before that was Moon Girl, right?
Yes. So it's been a minute. It's been 11 months. It's been almost exactly a year.
Was it that long ago? Did Sinbad start last year?
Yeah. Sinbad was last May.
Wowzers.
Yep. We're going to do a video game specifically. Let's do a little bit of background first, and then I'll tell you what we're going to modify onto that. This is actually a pretty fun fairy tale. I've heard the term East of the Sun, West of the Moon before. I've heard it referenced and utilized in some other ways. None of which seem to have any damn thing to do with what this story actually is. But in fairness, the phrase East of the Sun, West of the Moon might be one of the most like obtusely evocative phrases that exists in the English language. So, you know, there's that. Alan, you got any research for us?
I do. East of the Sun, West of the Moon was collected by, and I apologize in advance for butchering this.
If it's Norwegian or anywhere in that area, you're never going to get it right.
Peter Christian Abjørnsen and Jorgen Moe. It is a collection, it seems like, of different fairy tales, including Black Bull of Norway, King of Love, Brown Bear of Norway, Daughter of the Skies, The Enchanted Pig, and Prince Hat Under the Ground. Some of them relate to the tale of Cupid and Psyche, and also draw inspiration or compares they're also compared to Beauty and the Beast, not necessarily drawing inspiration from.
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast is a little bit of a stretch. There's another podcast. I cannot remember the name, and I'm going to feel bad about that. I will post about it later. That did like a verbal retelling of kind of the original Beauty and the Beast story. And one, that is nothing like the Disney show at all.
Oh, no, not at all.
None of the first versions of any of the Disney movies end well for anybody. No,
I think Beauty and the Beast does, but it's still also just weird. It also doesn't seem to really have a lot to do with this fairy tale, so I don't know what lines they're drawing there. Maybe it's a different version. Who knows? The point that I kind of want to dig in on is it really is just Norwegian Cupid and Psyche, except it's a little less, like, a little less creepy. It doesn't have kind of the same.
No one kidnaps anybody and no one spills hot oil on a face or anything.
There is some hot oil that gets spilled.
Okay. Hot tallow, yeah. Candle wax.
But it's like three drops of it on a shirt.
Okay. So here's the thing. I thought this was one story and it's an entire collection.
Yeah, it's a couple chapters.
Okay.
So the first kind of overarching, let's hit the story beats real quick here. So the overarching deal is a bear shows up at a dude's farm and says, "Hey man, I'll give you just..."
I'm a talking bear. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. First of all, hello. Hi, welcome to Norway. This is apparently not weird.
And an unnaturally white bear.
Yeah. So, he basically says, "Hey, if you'll let me marry your youngest, prettiest daughter, I'll give you just so much gold, my dude. Just so much gold."
"Hi, my name is Coca-Cola. I'm lost, and I'd like to marry your daughter."
Yep.
Yeah.
Naturally, the girl is reticent, but the dad's just like, "Hey, Mr. Bear, come back later. I'll convince her. Everything will be fine."
At least there is some sort of negotiation process and not just like, "Yeah, sure."
Yeah, like all fairy tales, this first part does not go great for the girl.
Written by a dude.
Yeah.
And goes bad for the woman.
Shocker.
It goes better eventually. So then the Cupid Psyche story happens.
But Cupid is a bear.
Yeah, in this one, instead of invisible.
I'm just going to picture this as a large hairy man than an actual bear. What? Because I think that's fun.
At some point in the story, it mentions that he takes off the bear.
Oh, that's right. He changes forms and comes to her as a man in her bed.
Yeah.
But there are no lights, so she cannot see him.
It's not invisibility this time. It's just like, during the day, he's a bear, and during the night, he's a dude.
So he can have sex with her.
Yeah. The whole similar kind of story from Cupid and Psyche plays out where she gets to go home to visit people, but he's like, "Hey, don't talk to your mom, because she's going to fuck this all up." And guess what? She talks to her mom, who fucks it all up.
I'm assuming
that is relative, right?
Well, the mom says, you know, she's like, "Oh, I've never seen him before. There's no lights in the castle. There are no candles." And the mom goes, "Well, that's an easy fix. Here are some candles. When you go back to the castle, light a candle and you'll be able to see."
Yeah. Okay. It's a little less like, I think all three of us have been listening to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby podcast a lot.
A little bit.
And the way she tells the Cupid Psyche story is that all of Psyche's sisters were horrible and wanted to ruin everything deliberately. This isn't quite that, thankfully. Mom's just like, "Hey, maybe see your husband.
Maybe just get some papers on him."
Although, not really to be fair, but the mother is concerned that the man is a troll.
Yeah.
Which is the other reason why she's like, "Look at his true form."
That is a big concern in a lot of Norwegian stuff.
I don't know if anyone else knows this. Though. Yeah. There's also the possibility that, like, white dudes could be kind of trollish. We're kind of awful sometimes, historically speaking.
Yeah.
So she goes back, she lights the candles, some tallow from the candles drip onto him, and he wakes up and just goes, "Hey, look at me. I'm fucking gorgeous, and you'll never see me again." And she wakes up in the morning and the whole castle's gone.
Okay.
Because now he has to go back to his wicked stepmother, who put the curse on him in the first place, who lives in the castle east of the sun and west of the moon, and marry her hideous daughter, who is in fact a troll princess.
Also, the stepmother might be a troll too.
Yep.
I assume if her daughter is a troll, that some of that, the odds are 50-50 that it came from her. So. Yeah. Okay, so I have just a couple baseline questions about this.
Cool, because we're at the halfway point of the story.
Oh, never mind. Continue. Real quick, though.
Yeah.
I'll save the big question for later, because, okay. You know, that's the thing. But the first, you know, medium question, this definitely seems a lot more consensual than maybe some other tellings of a similar story, right? Like, because the daughter's, like, convinced, and it's in a time where it's, like, you know, mostly women are property, but this time he's like, let me talk to her, which I think is, like, a huge step up. It's not a lot.
It's still not super great, but
it's,
it's
a lot for the time.
Listen, 4,000 years or so between the Cupid and Psyche story and this one, I'm glad we've progressed this much to let me talk to her first. So this is the halfway point, and for reference for in a minute from now, this is where the video game starts. Like, all this is a cutscene, I feel like collections of cutscenes. We'll get to it.
It's hard to
play that story, right?
We'll talk about it. Keep going. Yeah.
So the girl wakes up and goes like, oh, I done goofed because, one, my super, super pretty husband is gone. Two, the whole castle is gone. And that's probably bad because we were supposed to get buckets of money for my family out of this deal. And that maybe didn't happen. I'm going to go find him. So she goes and finds him, and she goes
but
on this
first,
like,
she has to go on fetch quests.
Yeah, she goes on three quests where she has to go find these, like, neighbors. I'm imagining, like, the wise old women in the woods kind of trope, but I don't know that there's grounds for that. The first one gives her, like, a golden apple and a horse that will take her to the next neighbor. The next neighbor gives her, like, a golden comb and a horse.
And a horse to take her to the next neighbor.
Yep.
This is a horse collecting simulator. Is what you're describing thus far.
The third neighbor gives her a spinning wheel and a horse that will take her to the east wind. Then she goes through all four cardinal directions of winds until they get to the north wind, which is the strongest, who's like, I guess I can fly you there, but it's going to tucker me right out.
Gotta catch them all. The four winds.
Yeah. So they fly to this castle that's just floating somewhere in objective space that's east of the sun and west of the moon.
Okay. That's how the sun and the moon work.
Yeah, there's totally directions in space, and you can put a reference point there. So there's just a castle that exists there, and she shows up. She goes, hey, you must be the troll princess that my hubby is supposed to marry. How about you sell me a night in bed with him for this golden apple? And Prince is like, done deal. And then drugs the prince so he sleeps through the night without waking up. This happens Rude. Three nights in a row.
So she loses all of her cool items.
Yes.
And on the third night, the troll has been giving the prince a sleeping draught every night. She gives it to him, but he doesn't drink.
Because the townspeople that have been kidnapped in the castle are just like, hey, we've been hearing a lot of crying from your bedroom. Maybe look into that. And he's like, oh, okay, will do.
So he doesn't drink his sleepy time drink, and he stays up, and the princess, or the young woman, is like, yay, you're awake, this is awesome, how do I save you? And the prince says, well, it's easy. He will declare that he will marry anyone who can wash the tallow drops from his shirt, since trolls cannot do it.
There is zero explanation given for why trolls cannot wash wax out of a shirt.
But hey, it works. So the girl washes out the tallow. He declares to marry her. And the trolls get so mad that they literally burst. And so the prince and his bride are free. They free all the villagers, take all the gold and silver, and leave the castle east of the sun, west of the moon. The end.
Well, that was certainly an in-depth explanation. Yeah. But to be fair, probably warranted, because I don't think anybody's heard of it.
Yeah, this is a weird one. We kind of had to go a little deeper. So there are some points that we're going to expand on later. So we're going to look at this as a video game. As much as I would love to do like a beautiful kind of third person adventure again,
you
like,
could say Breath of the Wild.
As much as I want to do a Breath of the Wild again, one, I don't think this works well for that. And two, we kind of did that kind of a lot in the last two games, and a little bit in Moon Girl.
I think, if you'll recall, Arsene Lupin was a first person. It was level based.
Dishonored.
Yeah. And Moon Girl was Batman Arkham City, just Moon Girl.
But Moon Girl. So we it was only really the last one, and that, you know, is I always picture more Assassin's Creed-y than Breath of the Wild-y, but your point stands.
Yeah.
I actually have an idea for a starting point.
Okay, let's round out
a game to start out to possibly imitate.
Let's round out the kind of the genre and everything that we're doing here. I feel like this is hard to pull out of its Nordic context very much, but
sure.
I want to do something that's a little bit more urban fantasy flavored. So a little bit more modern, maybe getting magical and weird with it.
Okay.
Okay, that's a weird direction I did not think about.
And what I was thinking, and Alan, like, let's talk about some starting point video games to look at. I'm thinking something like Celeste or Shovel Knight or one of those kind of 8-bit side-scrolly things.
The one that came immediately to my mind is Child of Light, which is like that, but it's very painted. It is very much a fairy tale video game. All the backgrounds are beautiful and painted, and it's just very, very pretty. So I think we're on the same page.
Yeah, something kind of in that side-scrolly, really more artistically pointed in their art style than, like, Breath of the Wild, beautiful 3D world.
Have either of you played Grease?
I was about to say Grease is another really, really good example of what I'm thinking.
I have not. Tell me about this game.
Oh, Matt. Okay.
It's beautiful.
It's amazing. So, you know the song Rainbow by Kesha?
Yes.
It's like playing that.
Whoa.
Like, the feeling that song gives me, this video game gave me. I cried at the end. It's very good. But it's very painterly. It's very, like, watercolor. And, like, color is a level design, like, facet. So, like, you start off with all the color going away, and you land in a black and white world, and eventually you get to the first part of the game is red. And then you move from there and you add green to it, and then you add blue to it, and then you add yellow to it. There's like four directions that the hub goes off of. And so you can see, like, I need to go there, but I can't get there yet. And like, I need to go down here, but I can't get over this thing yet because I can't jump yet. Or I can jump, but not as high as I need to. And it's very much a, like, go through this level, gain an ability, move, like, get through that level,
okay,
get back to the hub, go to the next part, gain a new ability, and like that affects and changes the world. Each time you come back to the hub, there is another way that you can go or another thing you can do that you weren't able to before.
Which sounds very Metroidvania, but it's not Metroidvania at all. It's very different.
Yeah, it's Metroidvania if there were only four branches, right? Like if Metroidvania was like a Celtic knot instead of a Metroidvania.
Okay.
Like it keeps coming back to the center, and there's like a, you know, there's a story and a theme, and I'm not going to say any of it because it's,
and the OST is just absolutely wonderful.
It's very good. I don't play video games with sound on unless it's on my TV. And even then I usually have like a video or a podcast or something going, but like I was just literally, it was me and Grease, and it's so good.
Okay. I actually downloaded it on Jake's recommendation. It was quite fantastic.
Yeah, it's really Shannon Maynard's doing a print of it come con season, so I'm very excited to pick one of those up.
Nice. Okay. Yes, that all, it sounds like we're all in the same ballpark, and I'd love to kind of take that hub concept from Greece.
So this means that where we start in the game is not the hub then, right? We got to get there. So yeah, maybe the first part of the game is that all that prologue, but okay, told in a linear way. And by linear, I literally mean like moving across the screen and not necessarily in time.
Okay. Well, and what I could see is like the prologue type thing would be a tutorial, which could be skipped, but you would start where the castle vanished.
Yeah, that's...
And so you work your way back to your village where your mother was, and that kind of teaches you the mechanics and the basics of the game, and you can use that village as kind of the hub to go to the different places you need to go.
Yeah, I think that works.
Yeah.
I don't think you should be able to skip the tutorial, though, because the tutorial is the setup and the story. And I mean, like, yeah, the skip option is there for speedrunners, sure, but like... I don't
you
think
shouldn't
it should be.
Skip it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I don't think it's a cutscene. I think it's like playing, you know?
You play it and learn it.
Yeah, you can't jump that part. You can jump, you know, some of the cutscenes, but I think the up until the castle disappears, that whole thing is the first, you know, tutorial area slash like leg of the game.
Okay. So I think we're actually probably going to end up with a couple different hubs.
At least two, because you have your first one where you got to go to the neighbors and get all the horses.
Yeah.
And then there's the second one, which has got to be the pathway to the winds.
And then I think we have a third one where we're at the castle east of the sun, west of the moon.
Yeah. And we wrap all that stuff up.
So, okay. Let's take this kind of in order. How video game? How do we video game?
See, that was going to be my question when I stopped you.
That's why I think starting the game proper, even not having the prologue section be in the castle, but having the game in the prologue start when the castle disappears, because prior to that, it was all just like her being given away and him seducing her. Like, there's very little agency for her there. Obviously, we can change that.
Yeah,
but...
I don't think that's the starting point anymore. I think the starting point is a bear comes, because it's got to be a bear, because that's just
thematic.
Part of the deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, but like...
A large white bear.
He comes and is like, I'd like to marry one of your daughters, and then the daughter agrees to it. And I don't think we can skip any of that, or else... Why are you going to save him? Because if you skip that, you don't see that, and you don't
care.
Well,
no. I'm not saying like I'm saying like that could be a cutscene. And I like that too, because it's once upon a time. You know, once upon a time there was a bear who went into a village and found a girl to marry. They went back to his castle and she fell in love. And in order to find out who her love was, she dripped candle wax on him, and he vanished. And now she has to go and find him. You take control of the character.
Okay.
But I almost see, like, the cutscene being done with stained glass.
That or storybook, because I had an idea for something that I think could be, like, a really good tonal shift moment. Where we're having this storybook stained glass fairy tale story being given to us. And then when she wakes up, which is presumably by her, like, waking up, realizing that she's floating in the air where a disappeared castle is, and like landing on the ground somewhere, just like oof, and then popping up to be like, "The fuck happened to my castle?" Like,
I
just
mean,
completely like modern,
I don't know about
girl
cusses.
No, but like, no, but like, yeah, like shift it from fairy tale princess to like kind of hard edged, like tough modern girl. That's just like,
and I'd also kind of love it if the castle was like maybe not even a skyscraper, but like a thing in a big city. So when it just vanishes, all she has left is a blanket, and like her parents are in the suburbs or something, like right outside of the city. So that's how she meets the neighbors. And then she goes to the winds, and we can kind of play with that too to modernize it.
Can I try to, I shouldn't say try to walk back. I don't think the modern urban fantasy edge,
it's gonna work,
fits the story at all.
Okay.
I don't think that. You could obviously modernize it. You could put, you know, the castle's a skyscraper and the village is suburbs, and instead of horses, they're bikes or whatever. But I think you lose a lot of the magic if you put it in modern times, because, like, then you kind of end up with the movie Beastly.
And nobody wants that. Yeah,
and that's true. And nobody wants that.
I just watched a video about that, which I'm sure is what you're referencing, and it was really funny.
You watched Jenny Nicholson's?
Yeah.
It's so good.
Demonstrably, based on the numbers, nobody wanted that. Yeah.
Although, I will say, I feel like the three of us will make an infinitely better video game than the trash they put on the Wii. Just saying.
My favorite part about that is that the alternate ending to the movie is in the video game and not the regular ending.
Yep.
Jenny Nicholson has a great video on it. Everyone should check it out. Anyway, so it, like, I can be talked down. I don't feel the modernness fits.
Okay.
Very well.
I was concerned about that because I feel like it's hard to separate this from its origin. Like, yeah, from what it is.
Yeah, I think we can modernize some of the, I mean, obviously, like, the narrative we can modernize by having it be, like, you know, more, she has more agency. It's less about, like, I'd like to buy your daughter. Oh, let me see if I can talk her into it. And more like, I'd like to marry your daughter. I'm very rich. Yes, I'm a bear. Please do not hold that against me.
Yeah.
Because, like, if this is a modern day thing, literally, you know, if a bear came up to literally anybody at all ever and was like, I'd like to marry your daughter, I'm very rich, they'd be like, yeah, here's the thing, you're still a bear, dog. Fair. Like, you're not a monster boyfriend, you're a literal bear from the woods, and I don't think a lot of people can get by that.
Yeah. Okay. Can we lean harder into the fantasy of it then? Because I don't want it to just be like, in Norway at one point, there was this...
Absolutely, yeah.
That's kind of what I was aiming to try to get away from, because if we get some distance from that, we get a little bit more space to play with the girl, including giving her a name. Because I saw no notation of a name.
Nope. No one had names, at least in the summary I read.
Yeah, there may have been names in the original or something, but no one bothered to tell me what they were. So let's lean into just more of a fantasy thing. The kind of environment where if a very white bear walked up to a farmer and was like, hey, yo, I want to marry one of your daughters, dog. He'd be like, okay, what do I get out of this?
Sure. No, maybe the bear comes up.
I am but a poor shit farmer.
I think maybe the bear comes up and is like, hey, I'd like to marry your daughter. And the daughter's like, I'd like to marry that bear.
I wonder if there might be a way to, like, hint at a backstory where the daughter's like, I know this bear. This bear and I have dated.
I don't know about that, but I definitely think that I know enough people who are into monster boyfriends that it would not be out of the realm of possibility. Also, there's a shitload of crime going on right outside my apartment.
They're
right
coming
now
to arrest you, Jake.
I didn't do anything wrong.
You haven't made any bad jokes yet.
I never make any bad jokes.
I mean, that's demonstrably untrue.
Not even once.
So,
What are you thinking, Alan? What are you thinking?
If we're not wanting to stay Norwegian, to me the next thing that makes sense is moving into, like, Celtic, with dryads and wood fae and things like that, because in a lot of those stories, like, wild shades could take the forms of animals and humans.
I like it having the Norwegian theme, but just maybe like
more generic,
worldlying it up a little bit.
I'm thinking Norwegian, not Norway. Does that make sense? Like
Norse. We're saying Norwegian instead of Norse, I think, is the problem. And I think a lot of us are getting turned around. I actually, two things. I have a name for the girl because I just looked up. I just looked through the thing real quick. There's an adaptation in. Doesn't say when, but there was a illustrated version of it written by DJ McHale and illustrated by Vivienne Flesher. And I was thinking maybe Vivienne.
Vivian's good.
Good name for her.
Yeah.
Number two, instead of like Norse mythology, like Norse trappings, and that kind of mythological world, what if we made it like Tall Tale Americana?
Ooh. Okay. Okay. Tell me more. Tell me more about this. Tell me more.
Like, so a bear comes up and it's a polar bear, but we don't have those in America unless you're at SeaWorld. But like instead of you know, I can't explain it in words, but you know, just like the instead of like the towns being like, here's some Dutch houses and whatever, it's like here's a little logging town, and like these little places are just like more American feeling. Like,
so maybe somewhere out in the West, maybe in the Great Plains.
I'm thinking like that. Like Appalachia, but kind of the south-ish, like.
Okay.
You know, so, like green, but still like America. You know, like Tall Tales.
What about the Great Lakes area? Because there was a lot of like Dutch and Swedish and Norwegian immigration up there. They went and did the logging. So what if we did that and have it like actually just be logging country?
That could work.
Then the neighbors could be a logger, like a logging town, a coal mining town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe just like an industrial town.
Or like a fishing
town. Like a factory or fishery.
Yeah. Because that gives us three very distinct palettes to draw from for those areas as well. Okay, I dig that. So presumably you have to... There's gameplay that happens here. You have to learn something new from each one. So, like, do you get an axe? Like, you learn how to log a tree?
Yeah.
Or do you climb?
I think maybe you learn how to climb things. I'm trying to think. I think we need to like, nail down a couple more things. But it's basically, like, instead of her being in, like, you know, a milkmaid dress or whatever the fuck they wore in the 1400s or whatever this was made, it's like she's in jeans and a flannel, and it's still very much that like 1930s kind of fantasy America. Okay, you know, like that's what I'm thinking. Basically, like a Paul Bunyan area.
So I like her getting the axe from the logging people. She learns to dig from the miners.
Okay, that's good.
And maybe she learns to make things from the industrial place if we go with a factory, or she learns to swim from the fishermen.
Were there only the three things that she did?
There were the three neighbors and the four winds. So we have some
other
space.
And then each of the four winds can give them more to do.
Upgrades. Okay.
And could we also make the main character not... Well, like, I think she would default as female, but you could change it to a male if you wanted, but not change the story. So, like, maybe it could provide a queer reading of the story that, you know, it doesn't matter that she's female. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Like, for the style, I don't think the character customization would be extremely deep, but, like, I feel like you could, you know, change... like palettes, gender is a slider, you know, like whatever you feel like.
We can do that. That's not a problem. Okay. So we got
I also like the idea that like this Paul Bunyan looking motherfucker who used to be a bear is the damsel in distress.
Oh yeah. It's great. It's absolutely great. Okay. So axe, so chopping down or climbing, digging. Which do we prefer, crafting or swimming? swimming feels less useful here.
I think swimming would actually feel more useful than crafting, because I don't know if because if the story is more of like a narrative linear thing, like I don't know what crafting that would give you.
That begs the question, what kind of game are we making? Are we doing something that is like Grease, where it's puzzle platform? Are we doing more of a straight platformer? Are we doing an RPG? Are we, like, what kind of thing do you see this being, Matt?
I think this needs to be like a puzzle platformer kind of deal.
Yeah,
I would say swimming would probably be more useful.
And okay. Swimming should probably be like first then.
Okay, well, that's fine.
I also kind of think it would be neat if you could go to the neighbors in any order, but in order to get like the secret stuff, you have to revisit them with your new powers.
With the new things. Yeah, absolutely. I like that.
Since it's the first hub, like those parts can be relatively short because it's just going to visit your neighbor.
It's just a Mega Man level, but like, you know.
Yeah, here's the abilities that you need for basically the rest of the game. It encourages you to try to explore a little bit. Once you have the abilities, go back and see what you can do. And then once you're to where you have to go visit the Four Winds, you need all three abilities in order to successfully navigate there.
So I'm trying to think of a way that like instead of abilities you get items.
I mean,
because I think that kind of fits the narrative, but I don't know how you would turn swimming into an item without being stupid with it. But the other thing is, what would you use digging for?
I mean, you could probably like bust through rocks instead of jumping over them, things like that, like tunneling,
okay,
breaking things. So I think it would be like swimming. Maybe you get goggles. That's easy enough.
Sure.
Digging, you get a shovel or a pick.
Yeah. And
what if you got like claw gloves? Is that too dumb?
No, that's just very much a Zelda item. It's one of the first things I thought of too, but.
Well, what if you get, like, instead of just straight claw gloves, what if you get what the, like, this is actually more like what linemen use on telephone poles, but I think it's still very American and works. Spike boots and that little belt harness thing.
I mean, that seems like more of a
for climbing thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was thinking claw gloves for, like, digging.
That's what I meant, yeah. For the digging.
Oh, yeah.
Is, like,
no,
you get,
absolutely,
like,
yeah.
You get little knuckles gloves.
No, I dig that.
Then what about flippers for swimming?
See, that I think is too stupid. I don't, maybe not stupid, maybe too goofy, and I don't know if that fits the aesthetic. Because every time you jump in the water, your flippers just would pop on, and I feel like that is like.
Whereas if you just have goggles that show up on your sprite in like a steampunk or pilot way,
like a headband,
you just,
yeah.
Whoop.
And they're of course made of gold.
Yeah, all these are.
Or at least gilded.
Yeah. Very shiny.
So that's the other thing is you get like an axe slash.
Or something,
A harness or something, yeah.
Yeah.
But the other thing is every level you do need to get the thing they want. So you need to get the apple and comb and the loom or the spinning wheel or whatever.
You trade that for the actual item. You're like, can I have something useful though, please?
Well, no, because you have to use those items to give to the trolls in order to stay with the prince.
But I think we still do it, except you just lose your goggles and your digging gloves and your axe. You have to sacrifice your abilities in the castle.
So that'd be basically like it is a different game at that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like if I was playing that and that happened to me, I would get angry that I could no longer use my cool things.
What if...
you're going to get them back or get upgrades.
I was about to say, what if part of the last night with the prince, third night, is...
You got to steal him back?
Yeah, when you convince him that you're there to rescue him, he opens a room that you can get your equipment back.
Well, I don't know if he should just give it back or if he's like, we need to get out, you're gonna need your stuff, and so you have to go...
Well, don't forget, like, there's also...
around the castle.
There's also captured townspeople, remember? So what if they help you out with that? They're like, oh, we saw you had those goggles on. here's some better ones that do
right here. Something. Here's, you know, yeah, here's my goggles that make you go faster or whatever.
Yeah. The upgrades. This is when you get the upgrade versions.
So here's the thing, though. Since Alan said you would need to trade the things to the trolls, that kind of did some game design puzzle pieces in my head. You would need the item to do the level.
Yeah.
So, like, at a halfway point or a midway and earlier point in the level, you would have to get the item, and then the rest of that level relies on and uses that item a lot, right?
Yeah. Right, to teach you how to use it.
So you get used to using it, and then so when you go to the next section with the four winds, like, you have everything, you're very proficient in everything. So I don't think that stuff you should trade for the thing. It should just be like, you know, a quarter of the way through this level, I get the goggles. Now I can do this level. At the end of the level, I got the apple. Now I can take the apple back to the townsfolk, and then they will tell me where to go next, you know. But you could go anywhere next. It doesn't really matter.
Right. Okay. So the power items, the ability items, are different than the goal items.
Yeah, they are two separate things.
Okay. So let me add a wrinkle to this. So what if the deal is the neighbors, and we can do the same kind of deal with the winds. The neighbors are like, hey, I need you to go find my apple. Some jerk troll stole it.
Yeah. And you gotta go hunt the thing down, maybe do a boss fight.
Maybe, or maybe just like you get to the end of the level and it's like there's
a harder puzzle platform. That you need to do. Yeah, that's how Grease is. There's no actual boss fights. There is a villainous entity that you do have to like deal combat with a couple of times, but it's not necessarily fighting.
And then we just do a harder version with the winds. Like
I actually had a thought with the winds.
Okay. What you got?
So the way it works in the story is she goes to the east, to the west, then the south, then the north. And each wind, all they do is go, well, my brother is stronger, let me take you to him. What if we, like, in the game, obviously, you have everything programmed. They can go, and they're supposed to go east, west, south, north. Like, that's the way the game tells you to go. But if you know the story, you can go straight to the north wind. Like, it's difficult, but you can still do it, and it just allows you to progress the story faster.
I like that, but I also like the idea of the first time you could go in, the first town you could go in any order, or the first hub you can go in any order. This time you need to do the work. Like, you need to go through the order, because, like, this is the guy you love. Like, you need to work hard to get him back. You can't just, like, cheat and skip the hard work part.
Yeah. This is kind of why I think we should just do, like, an enhanced version of the first one, where it's, like, a troll has captured the wind.
Well, I like the idea that you go to this place, this, like, I almost call it Palace of the Winds. That's definitely in Wind Waker, I think.
Yeah, that's super duper Zelda.
But you go to the wind area, right? And it's like, all right, I need to get to the east wind. Like, that's the first one I can go to, because the others are blocked. Yeah. So you go to the east wind. You get him. He blows down the way to the west. You go to the west. She blows down the way to the south. Go to the south. They blow down the way to the north. And then you can finally go to the north, and the north will take you to the last area.
Do you also get magic from these?
Yes. What are you saying, Alan?
I also like the idea that part of it is earning the wind's trust. Okay. So the reason why she has to go through all of it is because the only way that the west wind will talk to her is if the east wind supports her. The only way the south wind will talk to her is if the east and the west wind both support her. And the only way that the north wind will send her to the castle east of the sun, west of the moon, is if all of the brothers are in agreement that she is deserving to go.
Okay, so
she kind of befriends the winds.
So it's less of a, like, go free the winds. It's more of, like, earn their trust.
Earn their trust and respect and friendship.
Are they trapped in the story? Or are they just
no?
Okay,
they're just chilling. That,
I don't think they should necessarily be trapped. I do like the befriending, but I don't know how game, like in the game.
Is it just you run a course, basically? Like, it's
you run a course and you get there, and I feel like you get like abilities that are more magical and intrinsic that, that can't be taken away,
like double jump or float, like a double jump or
like maybe an attack that, like, not necessarily an attack on like things, but an attack on walls or some barriers specific or whatever. Thing, just like things wind could do, but like, you know, in a visually interesting way. But I do like the idea that, like, you need to, you know, get one to go to the next because, like, oh, well, if you like, you know, if Easty vouches for you, then I will too. But also, I was thinking instead of it being like, we got to get to the Northwind because the Northwind's the only one that can blow us all the way to the fucking castle or whatever.
You need all four of us?
You need all four of them because with, you know, with our powers combined, et cetera, et cetera. Like, they're just more, you need the strength of all four of them. And so to do that, you just need to become, you need to gather them all. And maybe like when you get them, like you have like a little like belt that has like little four little jars on it. And it's like, oh yeah, I'll go with you. Let me just hop in that jar real quick. And then I can blow down the way to the west. And then like A, B, C, D. And then once you have the them in the jar, you get access to their power.
I like that.
So the east, the way to the east is has no need for wind powers, but it does. You do need to do swimming stuff and climbing stuff and digging stuff.
Yeah, and then but like after, in order to get to the west, you need the double jump. In order to get to the south, you need the glide, and in order to get to the north, you need
the like burst. A twister that shoots you up or something. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. Maybe a twister that shoots you up, and then the north wind gives you like a burst power.
I like that.
Because he is the most powerful in the story, and so like that translates to me, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that works. Okay,
but
so
you can also blow it behind you to make you go further.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what happens in the castle then?
So you get to the castle, and then I feel like the storybook aspect pops back up.
Okay.
Because it's like, okay, you're here. You did it. You're at the castle. And then you're in the storybook, and at some point, they're like, give up your things. And you go, okay. And the story doesn't progress. And then you need to be like, yes. And then the story will, like, you affect the storybook, and then it kind of fades back to the stained glass or however. I think stained glass would be really cool to see you, like, walking around stained glass.
That would be cool.
And then, like, then it's like, no, the story's not over, and like, so you have to affect it now, and then like, then it kind of comes back to the regular gameplay art style
of you, like, and it, I think the cutscene there would be the knights like presenting the goblin sisters the items and the knights with the prince.
Well, instead I think of,
go ahead Matt.
Okay, so I had an idea for that, for kind of what the level becomes there. One, I think it's all in the castle, but it's like she knows the prince is drugged or something is happening. The prince is not waking up. So she's like, well, screw this noise. I'm going to find out what's going on. And so she goes exploring the castle to go retrieve probably a townsperson, right? To go like free a townsperson is the end goal there.
Yeah. Every night she frees a different person.
Yeah. And they give you either an upgrade or like, hey, I nabbed this off of the whichever. Instead of goblins and trolls, can they be American cryptids?
I like that.
Can we then also make him a Sasquatch instead of a bear?
Yes. Or a Mothman.
People
are real horned up for Mothman all of a sudden. I don't know what happened.
I like the Sasquatch better.
Let the Mothman be the winds. The Mothman are four different size winds. So four different size Mothmans.
That is pretty cute.
Oh,
I think the wind should just be more like, you know,
ephemeral.
Ephemeral, but like American-esque. You know, like what would the four winds be like if they were tall tales instead of?
Well, okay, the east one would definitely be like a New York greaser. The south one would be a southern guy.
It's a cowboy, yeah.
The west one would be a surfer dude.
What if the south one was like an antebellum woman?
Sure.
Yeah.
And she has a fan.
Oh, yeah.
But what about for the trolls that he's rescuing, or she's rescuing, he or she really is rescuing their love from, are Jersey Devils?
I think they should be different. I think one of them could be the Jersey Devil. The problem with the Jersey Devil is
the stepmother maybe be the Jersey Devil.
The only problem with the Jersey Devil is no one fucking knows what the Jersey Devil is. It's just the Jersey Devil, you know?
Well, okay, we need to keep it kind of a theme, so what if it's just a Wendigo? They're kind of Yeti-ish, so you can kind of see like I see the connection here.
Yeah, but, you can see the A to B. The one's a chupacabra.
Yeah.
That's if a chupacabra, instead of eating goats,
ate
chalupas.
Yeah.
No, it would not be a chalupa. It would be an actual chupacabra, which may or may not be a T-Rex. No one knows. What would the third? Because there's three troll daughters and the stepmother.
There's
right?
only the one, but I don't mind if we make it three.
Because if we do three, then you can do like the entrance of the castle is from the south because you go north with the north wind, and then so you can have the three branches.
Yeah.
From
east,
there.
West, north. Yeah.
Yeah. Even though like the north one is like you have to jump upwards, but still, you know, same diff.
Yeah. No, I'm fine with that. So chupacabra. There's gotta be more horrible things in America.
Do we have American Gillman? Any water creatures in America?
I mean, we can just make one.
We've got Champ, but Champ's friendly.
We could just make a swamp thing. That's fine.
I feel like there's like some sort of frogman that I've heard about in my cryptid travels.
Let's assume there is, though. And we'll figure it out later and just say sure. A frog dude. We need a third, because the stepmom's going to be a Wendigo. So what's the third
thing? Stepmom's a Wendigo. Maybe a Wendigo, like, and like we imply that like maybe Jersey Devils are Wendigos.
Or yeah. What about a ghost?
I don't think that's like specific enough. Yeah.
Okay. What if we make it, this is going to get weird and very like maybe too weird. This might be passing the horse in a spacesuit for this game.
okay.
What if it's a dead witch ghost? A Salem witch ghost. Is that too weird? Is that out of theme?
Yeah, I don't think that's cryptid enough.
I think that's a little
enough.
Too... Yeah, that's because that's a person who did a thing, not a thing.
Yeah.
Because by that, we could say it could be, you know, because vampires are really big in New Orleans. That it could be like a vampire, but that again is a little too broad because vampires are kind of everywhere.
Yeah.
And they specifically started elsewhere. So
I wish we had drop bears over here. I wish they weren't just Australian.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a koala. Koalas make a god awful, I'm going to rip your fucking head off noise when they try to talk to each other. And it sounds like death is about to rain on you from the skies.
They're also very horrible and covered in chlamydia.
Oh, yeah, that
also,
too.
The story of the Banshee is very similar. That the reason that people think there were Banshees is barn owls. Because they move so quietly, but they scream. And their sound sounds like a human screaming.
Yeah.
So the Banshee was actually probably just a barn owl.
There's got to be some sort of like nasty deer thing, right? Or like
a nasty boy.
Just a nasty boy.
What if the last one's just a Mothman?
I'm fine with that. I was trying to... I kept thinking about it, but I was like, no, that's a little... Because
it has the same... Like, it's a humanoid, you know, but it's a monster, clearly. So, like, I think it fits within the family.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Alan. Are you opposed to a Mothman?
Not at all.
Moth person? Moth being? Moth individual of indeterminate gender? Cool. So we have our everything then. We have our video game.
Yep.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you get all your stuff back. You do all the tests in the castle. You get back to him and you... In a cutscene, you wash the tallow out, and then...
And you live happily ever after.
Yeah.
Instead of them just, like, flying away from this baller floating castle, can they just, like, bring it with them. Like, we live here now because our other one vanished somehow.
I think it would return the castle. Like, your castle that you shared with the prince would return once the trolls have been defeated.
I like the idea that, like, maybe the four winds just pick up the whole town, castle and all, and fly it back to your village and just, like, put it there. So now you got this cool castle. All these people are now like, oh, I used to want to be a fisherman, but didn't have any way to do that because we were in this weird hellscape area. And it's like, oh, now there's a fishery. I can go here, you know?
Oh, I like that.
And
then
it's like, it's just like, yeah, everyone's together. Ta-da. And you're rich and you have your very cool castle.
Now your parents are still there.
Yeah, it's cryptid free. Everyone moves home. Everyone's cool.
I like
that. You got your hot Sasquatch husband now.
That also lets you still just, like, explore stuff and go find all the secrets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the way
it would give you post-game content.
The way that Greece does it is actually, like I think is really clever because there's a chapter select, and you basically go, like, I want to go to right before I did this one. And so basically it would start you before the first or second or third or fourth or fifth chapter, and then you could just go through there again, but everything you'd done before counts.
Okay.
So if you go to, like, chapter... So if you finish the game and you're like, all right, I missed a couple of the secrets in chapter one, you can go back to chapter one and get those secrets and then jump to four, and it's like, you got those secrets now. They're still counted, but now you're just doing chapter four. So if you miss something in chapter three, you can go back and do that again, but et cetera.
Same thing, just at the end of the game, it's like, well, now the castle's here, so...
Yeah, and then, like, the castle's here, and, like, if you want to go to the, you know, the wind place, you just, you know, be like, hey, guys...
You hop on a horse.
Take me. Yeah, you get on a motorcycle and you drive. Now, yeah. I guess it would be a horse. Because,
it would still be a horse. It could be one of those pretty painted horses.
Yeah.
For sure. I think we got a whole game, so we need a title.
I think so. I think East of the Sun, West of the Moon is good. I don't know if there's a way to... Zhuzh it up.
I don't know you can really meddle with that. It's just such a good, like...
I would give it a subtitle just to kind of make it tie into more of giving people an idea of what it is and just call it Vivian's Tale or Vivian's Song, that it's her story.
I think the only reason you need subtitles is if you plan on doing sequels.
I mean... I'm sure we could do a sequel to this eventually.
Well, and it could also just be, instead of East of the Sun, West of the Moon describing just the castle, it could just be that's the tall tales world. Like, in order to find these cryptids and these tall tales, you have to go East of the Sun and West of the Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I don't know if we need a subtitle because, like, it is just, like, one contained story. So by subtitling it, I feel like you set up expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we need to do a sequel with these characters. We can do, you know, later on do a spiritual sequel, you know, take some different fairy tales and do that. But, like, I feel like, you know.
This story is told.
This is very contained, yeah.
I'm okay with that. So East of the Sun, West of the Moon.
Yep.
Yeah? Hey, we did a thing. Look at us.
Dope.
So before we jump over and figure out what we're going to do for Jake's month next month, we have a Discord as well as a Patreon. The Discord's just open to everybody. If you're not a patron, you don't get access to all of it. Sorry. You can fix that. You can make that choice.
Yeah, you can become a patron and get access to different places.
Yeah. So we asked our Discord before we started recording. We're like, what medium would you do for a fairy tale? And these are just a couple of the ones that they put forward. Either a board game of some kind or maybe a video game. So, hey,
we got you. We did it.
Also a suggestion of an anime, which probably wouldn't have been a bad way to go.
Mm-mm. Just kind of do it in the more watercolor brush style.
Yeah, I could definitely see this.
A little, maybe even like anime. A Studio Ghibli movie instead of an anime. A graphic novel. The suggestion also is, when I think fairy tales, I think illustrated storybooks, like pop-ups.
Oh, yeah, that could be an art style that could be incorporated into the game, too.
Yeah.
I was going to suggest interactive comic or a point-and-click game. or maybe go to the roots of fairy tales and try an opera or a ballet or a ballet.
I think a point and click game would work really well for a fairy tale thing. Yeah. I don't know if I think this one is too it's got the Zelda setup where you have to get three things before you can go do the seven other things.
Yeah.
So like I don't know if point and click would work for this, but I think a point and click adventure would be real fun for a different fairy tale.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm not going to ever try to write an opera, and I don't think I understand the storytelling in a ballet, so probably not, friend.
Yeah.
That is actually something that I might want to try to take a stab at, but
ballet. If you feel confident with it, we can sure try down the road.
Yeah, like there's nothing saying you can't put it forward. I'm just telling you,
I'm gonna struggle, but
put it forward.
I super love ballets, y'all.
Listen, I will try to play in that space with you if you want to go there. So now it's time for our regularly scheduled roll of the mini-sided dice.
I am ready when you are.
What you got, Alan?
Three.
Three. You started at two, right?
Yep.
This might be another time that we invoke a reroll. Jake, this one is The Coming Race. Excuse me while I do a Google, because I don't remember. It might be a movie.
That sounds Lovecrafty.
Vril. This is what it's called. Vril, The Coming Race is a novel by Edward Bulwer Lytton. Okay, it's not. It's about like a superior subterranean master race and an energy called Vril. It's another kind of Hollow Earth story.
As much as I think we could figure something out with that, I think I would like to do a reroll because we do have an entire Hollow Earth story that we did.
It's true. We can put some space in there, don't you think, Alan?
Yep. Number 33.
Oh, other end of. Oh, god damn it.
What'd I get?
The Wind in the Willows.
Is that with the frogs?
They're a part of that, yeah.
Yep. And the kind of racism.
Listen, do we want to keep rerolling? Like, I'm fine. Some of these might just need to get off the list.
Right? It's not like we've never unracist something before.
It's true.
I just don't know what The Wind in the Willows is. English children's novel. Can you give me a very short breakdown of what this is? Wikipedia background? No. Plot summary? No. Mole meets rat? Toad. Is this just like animals?
Yeah.
Is this just like animals talking?
It's kind of a watership down, not nearly as nice as a red wall, but kind of in that vein.
Yeah, I was about to say it's more red wall than watership down.
Also, watership down never being on this list.
I mean, I don't know how you could do that. Okay, so Wind in the Willows, it's about animals. Are we doing genres this year? Did we say that?
We started with mediums, but we can just do whatever the fuck we want at this point.
Yeah,
really.
Sorry, yeah, I meant mediums instead of genres.
You want to take a stab at this? Because we can go.
Yeah, let's take a stab at it. You know, why not? Trying to think of a good medium for a bunch of animals.
It kind of seems like an anthology story a little bit.
I would say video game, but diddly dang it, we just did that, huh?
Sure did. I mean, we can do it again. There are no rules that says we can't.
I don't like doing two things twice in a row. Okay, you know what? I got a stupid idea.
Okay.
Tabletop RPG.
Ooh. Fuck a duck. All right.
I mean, maybe you can, and this one in the Willows.
Now the cops are definitely coming after you, Jake.
Nope. That was a good one.
Oh, no. All right. Well, hey. So in the way that our system's kind of been rolling through, this means Moon Girls back up for grabs as a potential one that we can play around with again.
Oh yeah, it's two calendar years.
And then
so Moon Girl will be up after the next one, right?
War of the Worlds, Swiss Family Robinson, and Moon Girl will all be on the list for June.
Ah, dip. I'm excited to figure out this tabletop RPG.
It'll be fun, I think.
I think it'll so. Be something. I think at the very least, I think we all have adequate background in
That's
this.
Fair.
True. True freaking story. All right. Well, I guess this has been a full episode here. So until next time.
Oh, hold on real quick. If you are a patron or if you're not a patron, and maybe this episode should be public, but it will be on the Patreon. We're about to record a bonus thing where I'm going to pitch these two a wild idea. And so maybe that'll be public to check out on the Patreon if it's something, if it's if we decide to go with it and it is enticing enough to maybe get you to sub up on that Patreon. So go check that out. I don't know when it'll be up.
Probably around the same time that this episode goes up in the main feed, the bonus will go up for the patrons, is what I'm saying. That'll work.
Cool. Yeah.
All right. So until next time, I've been Matt.
I've been Jake.
And I've been Alan.
And see you later. That's it.
And bye.
You've been rebooted. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to Hard Reboot. You can find us on Twitter at RebootCast or email us at hardreboot@fitzdraw.com. Alan's on Twitter at Alan_Sells. Matt is at Matt Hoadley, and I am at JJ_Mason. Thanks for listening.
Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.